Now, on the line, I have Stephen Large from Threshold. Good morning, Stephen. How are you?
Good morning.
Okay, I have to say, things are escalating at an enormous pace as time goes on, and it's not for the best, is it?
Unfortunately, not at the moment. It's very, very difficult. Last week, we would have launched our annual report for 2015. I suppose it was very late in the year to be doing that, but it's just an indication of how busy it has been. But I suppose last year what we saw was a 54% increase in the number of people contacting us with tenancy problems.
It's amazing. I mean, I can't get out of my head because I talked with Threshold many, many times over the years, and I distinctly remember in the back of my head coming up to, I think it was around 2006, 2007, that the government were making statements like homelessness would be obliterated by 2006, 2007, and it went the opposite way.
Yeah, unfortunately, it did. Obviously, we're paying the price for the boom and then the crash. And unfortunately, what we're seeing now is that more and more people are having housing problems, and more people are having to access emergency homeless accommodation.
Mm-hmm. Of course, having to look at some of the things in the report about some of the places, the accommodation substandard and all like that, is that a big thing in it now? Are they really that bad?
Well, it is a big thing. I suppose most of your listeners are going to be aware, like every day there's, you know, media articles in relation to increase in rents or increase in cases of people being given notice to leave their accommodation. But standards is actually the second biggest issue that we deal with. Yeah, and unfortunately, many people contacting us are living in substandard private rented accommodation. And very often they're afraid to do anything about it. They're afraid to report it. They're afraid to try and take further action because, as bad and all as it is, they don't want to lose the roof that's over their head.
What has changed in the mindset of the landlords to an extent? Because when the bed sits went, like they were quick to comply with that, and yet then to reverse to this. When you think of people living in hotel rooms, I always query the fact that it was a bit silly. I know that some of them were substandard as well, the bed sits, but at least you were in out of the place, and people have been living in it for years. The alternative to hotel rooms for whole families, I thought the bedsits was better. But as I said, they complied with them, and now they're reverting back. Is there not enough policing done, or what do you think the reason for?
Yeah, there's a couple of factors there. Like obviously, there are minimum standards that are set out, and they are very, very basic in relation to the structural condition of the building. That, you know, that it's physically sound, it's free from damp, there's running hot and cold water, you've cooking facilities, adequate lighting, heating, and ventilation in each property. So it's not a lot that's being asked for. Unfortunately, you know, in many cases as well, you know, landlords are struggling, and they haven't been able, you know, during the crash, they haven't been able to invest in the property. They don't have the resources to carry out the repairs as well, and this has gone on year after year after year.
Mm-hmm. And what about the is there no sort of legislation to the extent they can just seem to be able to put them up willy-nilly at any price they want? I think you have it in the SABA report, 25 and 30% over going up in 30 months. That's an astronomical increase for anybody.
It is indeed, and I suppose that's as a result of the huge demand for private rented accommodation out there and the very low supply. The last DAF.ie report for quarter three of this year, it showed that nationally there were under 3,700 properties available to rent. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there is a big demand for that, and that's driving up the prices. Now we have the rental strategy that's been announced, and hopefully that will be introduced in the coming days, which will hopefully introduce some form of rent certainty, whereby in Dublin, for example, that the rent will only be increased up to 4% on an annual basis over the next 3 years.
Okay, I heard a lot of controversy. I don't know much about it, but I heard a lot of controversy about the actual figures of that. And actually 4% will mean 8% when you work it out properly.
Yeah, there's been, we haven't seen the final act yet, and there's been a lot of debate about it. But I suppose, you know, stepping back, what we do have to acknowledge is that something is attempted to be done in relation to the spiralling rent controls. And, you know, there's some form of rent certainty being applied initially to Dublin and Cork, and then hopefully that will be rolled out nationally, but at the moment it's very much a free for all. So the Salvo report that you mentioned, you know, that's forecasting the increases over the next period, at least if rents are controlled, you know, to 4% year on year, it's going to be somewhat better than leaving it to the market.
Yeah, Stephen, you were saying, it says in the report as well that if people are really being pushed to the edge with the increases, they can apply for more rent allowance. Is that true? And are they getting any satisfaction in that sphere?
Well, one of the services that Threshold operates is called the Tenancy Protection Service, and that grew out of the increase in number of households reporting to homeless services, and from June in 2014 they've been able to apply for an increased rent supplement payment where someone's in receipt of rent supplement and they're at risk of homelessness. Mm-hmm. So the Tenancy Protection Service has been very effective. It probably, you know, the problem would be at least double as bad as it is were it not for the Tenancy Protection Service. Like last year, the service would have prevented over 8,500 people, including nearly 4,500 children, from becoming homeless. So
yeah,
it does make a difference.
It does indeed, it does. It's sort of baffling to an extent as well with the figures that were coming into the paper during the week, how much they're spending on having people in hotel rooms. As I say, it's baffling, and all the empty buildings around, I'm sure you're tired of hearing all of that. What do you think of what's happened now with the Apollo building there?
Well, obviously, it's just showing the frustration that people have in relation, you know, to, you know, in 2016, nearly 2017, that we have homeless people on the streets, and there's such a high demand for the services. Obviously, there are many good services out there, and many, you know, good staff and volunteers that are out there already in existing services that are providing for these people, and things are improving. You know, new facilities are coming on board. Unfortunately, it may not be as quickly as we would all like, but they are, you know, the services are being enhanced on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm. But it seems that they have the houses there, as you say, they're lying empty. I mean, I've heard someone saying last week, for instance, what about the police station, especially that fine big building in Whitehall, just lying dormant there over the past couple of years as well. So part of this, I mean, and some of the politicians are coming out in support of what's happening in the Apollo House. So it seems like everyone's getting frustrated but doing nothing, really.
Well, things are being done. Unfortunately, it may not necessarily, you know, it's being seen to be done, or it may not be done as quickly as we would all like. But, you know, things are improving. We do have an action plan on housing and homelessness. And, you know, it's quite a challenge, and it is a daunting task to undertake. But hopefully, you know, through the action plan, that we will see the changes kicking in, you know, over the short term, the medium term. But ultimately, we need long-term solutions.
OK, and Glenn Hansen just come out and saying that the direction now is that they're going to tear down Apollo House. I don't know, the owners of the building say they're worried about the health and safety, of course, and there's talk of them tearing it down. So I don't know what the story is there. So there seems to be all sorts of reactions coming out. And now the great work Threshold and other agencies as are doing, I wasn't querying them at all. It's just the government seems to be taking their time and take so long. I mean, they were talking about modular buildings this time last year, and not much was done in the course of the year.
Unfortunately not, but there are plans. There are quite a number of sites around the city that have been identified for the modular housing, as you said, and that hopefully we will start seeing those being put up as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm. And do you know of much, I know it's not in your remit, but do you know much about a lot of the objections to the modular housing? Because reports coming in now that an arson attack on a JCB stopped work in Cherry Orchard, where they were building 72 of them.
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, you can get local opposition. We saw that as well in North Dublin last year as well. And I think a lot of it is probably just, you know, the what's been proposed.
Stephen, do you know if it's the because they're modular and not properly built houses, that's what the objection is, or is it just having anything there at all?
Well, I suppose you need to talk to the people
objecting.
I think a lot, in many cases, you know, it's a lack of clarity around what actually is being done and why it's being done, and why it's being done in particular areas. And I think we need to, you know, look at it holistically, you know, from a lot of communities, they often feel that, well, they're, you know, maybe being dumped mm-hmm. on their doorstep, you know, which is, you know, it's not the case. What we need is good communication as to why this is being done, and looking at, you know, improving areas in general and facilities in areas. And these are areas that were probably already, you know, under-resourced. So people just feel there's additional strain coming in, and additional demands on the local services, you know, so that this is coming in, but they're not getting anything in return. So I think there has to be greater communication and between local communities in relation to where it is proposed the modular housing is being built.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and now in the you're calling for a certificate or a scheme of some kind called the NCT, or an NCT as you call it. Give us a little outline of what you're asking for there.
Yeah, I suppose that's something that we've been looking for over the last number of years. It's effectively an NCT for private rented accommodation. So one of five homes currently is privately rented. But when you're going to look for private rented accommodation, there's no way of knowing in advance, you know, that it meets the standards that are required, or this person that you're, you know, potentially renting from is actually a landlord and the property meets the standards. So having some kind of external indicator like the NCT for rented housing would be beneficial for people. They'd know that the property complies with the standards that are set out.
Mm-hmm. And have they got people to do that? I mean, you drive to a place, get your car done, but have they got staff to go around and check out the premises and stuff like that? That's the problem as well, isn't it?
Absolutely, and at the moment we would say that no, in terms of the inspection of private rented accommodation, what we find is that you know, very few properties overall are inspected. I think last year it would have been just under 17,000 properties inspected, mm-hmm. and half of those would have fallen below minimum standard, yet legal action was only initiated in 27 cases. So obviously it's all very well having the legislation there, but the legislation means nothing unless you have the inspection and enforcement. So you need to greatly enhance the resources that are there to ensure that people have access to good, secure, affordable private rented accommodation.
Mm. Would you know if many landlords have backed out of renting now because of lots of stuff like suggestion like that now, for instance, saying, oh, here, it's too much hassle now, it's not worth it. As you said, like, that's why the problem arose maybe in the first place. Do you think this is frightening them off? Maybe people even thinking of going into renting?
Yeah, it's a difficult situation. Like, in terms of landlords in Ireland, the vast majority of landlords are one-off landlords. They're, I suppose, what, for want of a better description, they're known as accidental landlords. Maybe somebody that, you know, they were advised at a particular time to maybe invest in a property. This would be your pension. They may have inherited a property, etc. And what we have seen is, over the last number of years, many landlords in that situation are struggling. Many are in have buy-to-let properties that have fallen into financial difficulties, mm-hmm. etc. In terms of are landlords leaving or not, certainly there's lots of anecdotal evidence of people, you know, just feeling the squeeze and that they can't continue any further. But in terms of the number of landlords and tenancies that are registered with the Residential Tenancies Board, they would indicate that it's broadly stable, and that there isn't a vast number of landlords currently leaving the private rental sector.
Mm-hmm. And of course, you mentioned there being part of that board, and there's obviously, I imagine, a lot that are not, and more in the black economy as well. I'm just wondering as well, if people were thinking of helping out and saying maybe someone's living on their own, or maybe just a couple living on their own, say, well, I'll try and help out and rent out. The complications and the bureaucracy, is that very involved? Just for information for maybe some of our listeners.
Well, if someone's thinking of renting out, say, a room in their home, it's actually fairly straightforward, and the government have increased the tax incentives to do that in the recent budget, so that you can receive up to €14,000 per annum, mm-hmm. and that's tax-free. You still have to do your tax returns with revenue, but it's tax-free, and that's relatively straightforward. And that is one way of, I suppose, making additional accommodation available.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now the reports have out, obviously, representation to the government. Any reaction to it yet?
Well, we've had, like, obviously it's been extremely busy over the last week or so in relation to the rental strategy, and some of the issues in that I suppose would reflect somewhat what we've been looking for, but certainly you know, there's a lot more that needs to be done in relation to that. And I suppose it is difficult because with so many problems, the private rental sector has doubled in the last number of years, but for many people now it's going to be their main source of housing going forward. So what we do need is a good long-term strategy to ensure that people have access to secure, affordable, good standard accommodation.
And the little cynic inside of me is saying, sure, they're going on holidays for 3 weeks, so there'll be nothing really discussed over the next couple of weeks, unless there's some, which, if they classify it, which it is an emergency, that they will keep meeting and talking, if necessary, all through the Christmas.
Well, hopefully, and I suppose for any of your listeners out there, just to let them know that we'll be open over the Christmas period, even on Christmas Day. If anyone has an emergency, if they're facing eviction over that Christmas period, they can contact us through our helpline.
Okay, and then get up on the website. Give us out the website details, please, Stephen.
Yeah, the website is threshold.ie, and people can email us advice@threshold.ie.
Okay, any more information for our listeners before I let you go and wish you a Merry Christmas?
No, I'd just like to thank any of your listeners for supporting us, and just ensure that, obviously, that if they do know anyone is renting and the difficulties that they're having, that, you know, they keep the local politicians aware of the issues that people are facing, and hopefully we can see changes so that we don't have people accessing homeless services going forward.
I suppose there are a lot of people out there, maybe when they start off renting, that they don't realise that the agencies that are there, like yourselves, Threshold, to help them out. So is that a true statement of fact, that people wouldn't know and they feel a bit isolated?
It can often be the case. I suppose most people get in touch with us through word of mouth. You know, we're fairly small, lean organisation, in that we can't, you know, we don't really have big advertising or anything like that. But a lot of people may have gotten in touch with us, and then they'll pass on, you know, someone else that they would have got in touch with us. But unfortunately, for a lot of people, it's all often after the fact that they find out that there are all these services, and there are a lot of services out there, you know, in terms of for advice and support, whether you're renting, you're at risk of homelessness, or you're actually experiencing homelessness and need to get out of that.
Okay, do you think it's, I know it's a silly question to an extent as well, do you, any optimism in you at all with these new changes that Minister Coveney's made?
Well, I think you have to be optimistic, otherwise why would any of us bother?
True.
You know, time obviously will tell, but I think, look, we have the action plan. We have some semblance of going forward, and it's now really just ensuring that that's delivered upon, and that we all contribute to that.
Well, I'm sure with the pressure they get from yourselves and other agencies, maybe that they will start to listen and reflect over the Christmas themselves. Anyway, happy Christmas to yourself and all the staff there, Stephen. Thank you very much for talking to us.
Thank you.
That's Stephen Lang, Large, from Threshold. And again, just get in touch there if you need any help with anything. Okay, a little bit of music.